Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of What's on the Other Side. I am Max Schumacher. Ronnie Johnson will be joining us shortly, hopefully with a couple other people calling on the line. But Drake Jones will not be with us tonight again, and hopefully we will be back soon. And we will wait for Rodney to call. But a lot of different stuff to talk about tonight. We're talking about the Coral Castle for everyone. At least who's down in Florida might be familiar with it, and I'm going to talk about a couple other different things, possibly the pyramids and, you know, underwater structures, all sorts of different things. But it appears Rodney is calling in now, and let's go ahead and get him on the line and see what's going on in just one moment. Rodney, how's it going?
Hey there. No, good. How you doing? Just fine.
Not
pleasant weather out here, so... things are doing good, and looking forward to doing a little preview show tonight. One little gaining some reps under our belt here, and glad that you're a little bit late, but good to hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry for the delay. Everyone's getting ready down where I am for the Gasparilla, which is like the annual pirate go drink and dress like a pirate parade, and all the boats come through, so... It has been hectic tonight, and saw Jim Jeffries, the comedian, so we'll go ahead and jump into the paranormal stuff now, but everything's good. Didn't know if you had anything you wanted to particularly talk about. I know we've talked about a few subjects earlier in the week that we were going to mention as far as the Coral Castle and everything, so I mean, I guess we could start with that if you wanted to go ahead and start mentioning what you know about it, and we can just... go back and forth, and maybe a caller will hop on the lines and want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, they've done several specials on it and stuff and about the man himself. And so basically what we're talking about here is basically a stone structure castle that that guy worked on for several decades. But interestingly enough, local Leisure City, Florida, and it was built in 1920, made out of stone, mostly basically coral that's been sort of turned into a limestone. I think he worked on it for approximately 28, 30 years, something like that. But the original location of it was actually, Florida City, and back in 1923, and he had moved it after that, and like a decade later or something, and for kind of strange reasons that he had for moving it. But we were talking about some of the other subjects as far as long as ley lines and stuff go, because he was very interested in that kind of stuff, and he had specific reasons for his location where he would have the castle. And so I thought that was kind of interesting that maybe, you know, originally maybe he just couldn't acquire it maybe at the time when he first started it. But to move something like that just on a whim, it doesn't seem like that would be something that somebody would want to do, especially when you've got all these giant works of art, you're basically, that are really huge. And so kind of interesting that the first place was Florida City, and then, you know, it basically moved the whole thing and started building again. But Edward Ledzinski, Ledzkalin is what I believe his last name is. I can't quite pronounce it right, but Edward, anyway, is the builder. And he had apparently had some stories related to why he came over here, because he was actually his sweet 16, I guess, girlfriend he was about to marry and engage to. backed out at the last moment or something like that, and he then came and built the island and then was hoping that she would eventually join him, which she never did. So one of the other things I thought was interesting about some of the stories about it was that he had claimed that because he had been sick, apparently with basically lethal tuberculosis, and somebody was treating him at the time, but he claims that these magnets that he had some effect on this tuberculosis. Now, I don't know what kind of experiments he was running, but similar to what he was using to create his some sort of magnetic field, which allowed him to somehow tap into the natural frequency of the rock and then sort of amplify that, with creating less of a weight on the stone and able to move these things fairly easily. And that was what he claimed to be, like, possibly the secret to the pyramids and how they did it. He claimed to apparently at one time knew that. And then I guess somebody maybe else did at the time, but she, I think, passed away. The guy said whoever cleaned his house, or the cleaning lady, or somebody that she that was really closely associated with him. But he had this machine in his house there at Coral Castle, which he could run wires from and then attach it to the top of the pyramid on his box. And it would allow him somehow to manipulate a little bit, maybe in his favor, the weight or the cumbersomeness of the rock somehow. And I think that is done, you know, via some sort of matching. If you can match the harmonic frequency of the object you're trying to lift itself, then you can bombard that material over time with this increasing frequency, and sort of exponentially grows until all the particles of the material are vibrating at such a rate that they sort of cancel the gravity out somewhat, I think. And so that was the basis of what a lot of people believe that he accomplished. And a lot of these are all just stories and things, but I really thought there was a very interesting man, anyway, just to do something
absolutely
like that, you know, sort of old hermit, you know. So I thought maybe that'd be an interesting topic to cover tonight, and just to maybe get anybody's opinion or take on it and see what they think. Do they think these things are possible, or if other people have done it as well? And if you did do something like that, why wouldn't you just simply make tons of money off of it or something? Or why wouldn't you share it with other people? I think that's the real question.
Sure. Well, what I, you know, based off what I know and have read, it originally was in, I think you had said correctly, Leisure City. I know it's right by Miami.
Yeah.
And my brother lived in Miami for a little bit, so I spent quite a bit of time down there. And I never went to the location myself, but I knew it quite well to where I kind of had a little bit of an interest in it, and especially when other people who I knew were interested in it and I was close to it mentioned and told me the stories behind it. Of course, I wanted to learn more about it, but it's as far as why, you know, the money behind it and everything, I think that's one thing, as well as what actually was going on. There's the separate thing to talk about. So my personal opinion, kind of like yours, obviously we're not going to know. The guy, from what I gather, seems to be pretty knowledgeable in the art of moving these things, because they called one of the particular structures in the castle the 30-ton stone, which, you stop and think about 30, you know, tons.
Yeah.
That's the weight behind moving that, and this is, you know, the years we're talking about aren't exactly, you know, modern. This is, you know, back in the 1930s, 40s, 50s that he was doing this. And you had mentioned with the tuberculosis, him mentioning that magnets had played a significant part in curing his illness. It's one thing he associated everything with, but I think partially the reason that, and the guy we're referring to, for anyone who doesn't know, Edward Leedskalin,
Leedskalin,
it was originally located in Leisure City, Florida. You can go ahead and look him up on the internet. Just Google the or Bing or whatever, the Coral Castle, and check it out. But a lot of people have said there's different theories for it, whether it's reverse magnetism, you know, whether it's he had levitation powers, whether it's supernatural, whether it's, you know, he had a famous quote where he said he learned basically how they built the pyramids. to an extent, and I can't remember how it was. You mentioned that as well, but I think one theory I read that was pretty significant, because the person who wrote it legitimately had studied a lot, especially with the pyramids and going around and studying different structures. And for those of you who don't know, the Coral Castle has, like Rodney mentioned, been there for he moved it, but it's, you know, it's been there for quite a long time. It's withstood Category 5 hurricanes. It's it is perfectly precisely built to where no light goes through it. This isn't some sloppy looking someone trying to be artistic and put some heavy stones up and said, wow, look at me. This is something that, you know, took 20, 30 years. And originally he had said it was because, you know, he was rejected by his I think fiance or someone he wanted to marry in Latvia when he was 16. And, but these structures, how did he move them? One theory I've heard that I really like, and I've studied a little bit about it. People have liked to say he knew anti-gravity technology and he knew all these different things. But if are you familiar? I mean, I know you're much more of a, you know, as far as carpentry and moving things, and as far as, you know, a lot of older technologies and things like that. I know you have more of a knowledge than I do, Rodney. Are you familiar with the block and tackle method?
Yeah. And that is basically a method of weight reduction. And basically, and it's like anything else. If one man, if you give him the time and the materials, now apparently all anybody ever saw him use was the tripod system with the three main poles, which were probably like, maybe 30, 40 feet. I have to check on that. But basically, you know, a triangle pyramid shape with three posts, and then he would somehow lift these things and then be able to move them around. Now, with sufficient planning and with sufficient time, I think mankind, if you put your mind to it, could probably accomplish just about anything. And, you know, because it was the 20s and the 30s, there was things back in the day such as steam power and mechanical things, but no one ever saw him use any of that stuff. And that's what I find kind of interesting. And so I really think that over time he probably could have, with block and tackle, used, you know, certain methods that would allow him over time to move things in a very slow manner. But
absolutely.
I've heard stories of him moving things that were really big in a very short amount of time. And so that's what I think is very interesting.
Well, no, and you're right. The stories are both back and forth. There's, you know, when he originally moved the castle, the reason behind it, most people say, is because he wanted more privacy. He didn't want people to be attempting, like kids and all that, to be coming and trying to see what he was doing. But even then, the stories are... There's some folk tale about some kid saw him, you know, using his tripod to move the thing and that it was levitating. But it was actually some police officer, and he may have been lying because he didn't like the guy or who knows why. But, you know, maybe he was telling the truth, said he disproved that story because the kids were once he stopped and they were just trying to say something to basically get themselves out of trouble, and that's why they were there breaking in, because they didn't know what was going on. In reality, they were still breaking in, but he basically said he knew, the police officer said he knew the reason why, and he blamed it on the method we were just talking about, which I'm not the person to know much about block and tackle and how the physics behind it work, but the idea I think behind it, we were talking earlier about making money. If you look at something like that, let's say he's using some method that may have been used to build the pyramids, may have been used to do these things. People have known this for a while. The technology is nothing new. And if you have some mystical type of, you know, animosity behind what you're doing, then of course people are going to – he charged people, I think, originally 10 cents to come in and you know, see the structures he had built and explain the entire process to an extent about them, not actually what he did, but show them that, look, there's this, you know, tripod and I do this. But it's interesting. Why wouldn't he come out and say how he did it? I think if he came out and said, look, this is technology that I'm doing that may be ancient technology, you know, then that may stop the money from flowing in. But another thing I've read a lot about, and I think is even more interesting, is that after he passed away, he didn't have a will. So the property has been passed back and forth between different corporations and people who haven't, you know, bought it, who aren't even associated with him family-wise. And they found a lot of Mason symbols there and a lot of, like, you know, Freemason-type Masonic material there to almost associate him with. And this is not me saying I know anything, because I certainly don't, but just from reading it, could be a completely other perspective to talk about, that maybe he was using some type of occult practices. Maybe there was some type of black magic or something else going on besides, you know, what he originally said, it was reverse magnetism, and that's the entire process he was using. And the theories are all over the board, which I think makes it such a, like, interesting subject to talk about, because it could be certainly different things. And, you know, obviously what he was doing, and it took him so long, but also he was able to move things so quickly if he wanted to. It's just kind of a back and forth subject that's really interesting to talk about, that also brings up a lot of other subjects to talk about. So I think we could go back and talk about it for a while, but that's just personally what I know off the top of my head, and what I've heard may be true, may not be true. If there's any callers, 646-668-2170, go ahead and call in and we can keep talking about this stuff. But definitely a very interesting subject to just bring up everything about.
Yeah, well, I was going to add that one of the stories I heard was about when he was moving his castle. Of course, he, you know, had hired truck drivers to put these giant blocks on, and then they would drive them over to the new location. But he would never let the drivers witness him loading the blocks. He would always have them go eat lunch or go away for like a half an hour or an hour or something like that. And then they would come back and the truck would be loaded and they would take off. So apparently this happened one time where the guy came back like after like 5 or 10 minutes early because he forgot something in the truck or whatever. And apparently Edward had already loaded on like two of these giant blocks in like 10 minutes. And he didn't understand how that could be done, because all he saw, like I said, were this the three tripod thing that he was using. And so the mysterious black box at the top is always the big mystery. Why did he have this box at the top of this tripod? And what were these leads that were coming down from it? And how did he manage it? Now, as far as what he was involved in, and I really think that's probably, you kind of alluded to it earlier a little bit about the idea, though, that he actually was possibly involved in, you know, some of these areas, people who are, you know, Freemasons and other societies of people who study ancient things, then it's possible that, depending on how high you up in the chain you get, that if you figure these things out, you already know or sign an agreement or, you know, maybe taking an oath not to divulge these secrets to anybody else because of, you know, mankind with these sort of devices and powers, with everybody having them, may be too much. And so I think these people take oaths and you know, do their rites and rituals and stuff, but I really think that it's, for the most part, he probably had some sort of ancient secret knowledge, and I think that these people are, you know, are not at all authorized to divulge it. Now, I guess just hanging out by yourself and then building your own little artistic thing with it, I'm sure that's allowed, probably, but maybe he had higher reasoning for not exposing what he was able to do with his machine or whatever he made that was able to nullify somewhat gravity, apparently. So I really think that that's probably the explanation. It's that, yeah, he probably had lots. I mean, that's kind of one of those things that you feel a lot of the movers and shakers and the people that did all kinds of interesting things were all tied pretty much to the Masonic lodges and other types of organizations that basically hire with from within and operate a certain way with certain rules and you know, and that's what's kind of interesting about it is the whole secrecy factor and why the secrecy and all that kind of stuff. And could you have a society would you, you know, wanted to do what you wanted to do, something like that, without having it be secret? I don't think you could. So, yeah, there's, you know, if he was tied to that, that's probably one of the reasons why he didn't divulge it. But to die like that and not have a will or anything, certainly you would think he would have been smart enough to at least figure out what he wanted to leave it to or who he wanted to leave it to, or maybe didn't he have any close friends or any family left? Or, I mean, I see it's
well,
sort
right.
of odd.
Yeah, the he didn't have a will, and he, I believe, passed away in the early 50s, 50, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know it was the early 50s, 51, 2, 3, something like that. So, you know, when he passed away, they had, I think, $3,500 they found in cash at his
right.
residence in the Coral Castle, which back then, that's a pretty significant, not saying it isn't today, but pretty significant amount of money, especially not to have a will. And for the
right.
the fact that if you look at the ultimatum of him, he's charging money to Castle. You look at the influence of it as money. Was this an income source? Was he trying to trick people based off some type of technology that may or may not have been influenced by black magic or maybe just simple old technology? Why would he not have a plan for that money? And also to say
okay.
it was because of a 16-year-old fiance. And I think, you know, a lot of people out there have probably been rejected or, you know, dumped by someone, especially at the age of 16. I understand back in the 1800s, early 1900s, 16 was much different than 16 today. But a lot of people, I think, have gone through the speed bump of life that's called a breakup and being rejected. And unfortunately, at least in America today, it's known as divorce. But why would that continue to be the source of motivation for his life? And, you know,
right.
if it was money and it was some type of thing that he was using as, you know, desire to earn money, that's one thing. But the entire story is just baffling because there's so many questions that were raised and there's so many bizarre parts about it. There was an inscription he actually left, and let me see if I can find it on my computer real quick, that people found when he had passed away that was in the Coral Castle. And, well,
like
I can't remember exactly what
like
it said, but it's he had some type of – okay, well, there's numbers. He had carved in there 7129, and then about 8 inches below that, he carved in 610519. And that was carved at these it was basically an inscription on the second floor of the Coral Castle that people have made up as a legend or maybe have associated with something that's some type of number or coding, something that has worth. Otherwise, why would it be there? Because for a structure that's so perfectly precisely built that, you know, for lack of a better word, you may not agree, but it's pretty, you know, architecturally built beautiful. It's perfect. That, you know, for a hand-built, non-machine-built thing, there's not flaws in it from an architecture standpoint. So why would he waste the time to carve something in the wall that was just, you know, a bunch of crap? Why would he waste
well,
the time to
was,
do that?
What was the second number again? Was it 610519?
Yeah, so the first set of numbers was, and this was on the second floor of the building, the first set of numbers was 7129.
Yeah.
And the second set of numbers was 610519. And again, you guys can just Google the Coral Castle. And the particular website that has these pictures is a blog by a gentleman named Sterling Allen, A-L-L-A-N is how you spell the last name. And the website is PESN.com, Pure Energy Systems News. And it's just he kind of made a blog and documented his experiences there. And the website's all about physics and a lot of, you know, science and chemistry people who are pretty knowledgeable and everything. So definitely the Coral Castle is a subject they like to talk about more in the physics field of, you know, how do you move this with magnetisms when, you know, things weigh 30 tons and the modern technology wasn't around back then. They weren't using what people are using today. I mean, just by where I live, I was thinking about when you and I were talking about the subject today, they were using these massive cranes to build a building next to me, and the, I don't know how much the things weighs, but these massive giant cement semi structures with, you know, oversized haul semi trucks, however many thousands and thousands of pounds they weigh, that they're able to lift so easily now with technology. When you and I were referring to this subject and I was reading about it, it was really almost ironic just to kind of see the technology in front of me now that we have, and for people to bring this up as a subject. But again, PESN.com, and just Google the Coral Castle. This article I read was by Sterling Allen. He was a little skeptical of it and trying to bust it. Not saying that it was not a not some type of amazing technology and that he didn't know something, but simply saying that it wasn't some type of occult practice. But there's also a lot of theories behind that. And you mentioned earlier, we didn't talk a whole lot about it. We started to mention it, the ley line theory, and it brings up vortexes and everything else as far as I don't want to say vortexes are related to ley lines, but just geographical locations that seem to have some type of alignment or spiritual or whatever word you want to associate it with, but some type of energy behind them, or maybe it's the way that they're set up with the magnetic field being altered that's causing some type of, you know, reverse in the polarization of things. It's definitely something that gets thrown in with the paranormal field a lot, and I don't know if that's something it should be thrown in with, and I don't know your opinion on that.
Well, there's, speaking of starting back from what you were talking about earlier about, like, we've got magnetism and stuff like that where we can do things, and but we're talking about using liquid cooling nitrogen and all kinds of things like that. There was, I think, something came out in the 30s and 40s as well, that somebody had something similar. It was like a board that he stood on that apparently levitated in, and that was another little thing that was something similar, but you know, whether or not, like I said, even if somebody did come out with that, certainly there would be opposition to squelch it or put a cap on any information that would allow people to just move, you know, these giant blocks around with ease or something. That, you know, that kind of technology could be used for other things. And so it's really interesting that, you know, the fact that, you know, people went in there right afterwards and everything and looked at all this stuff. And no one really, apparently they don't have the original machine anymore that was in the house, but somebody had built a replica of it. And, you know, I think they obviously, maybe the numbers have something to do with maybe coordinates. But, yeah, we come back to the question is why it's a certain spot. Did he pick the spot just because of its seclusion, or was there a reason why the spot was, you know, advantageous to him?
Sure, yeah, the theory I've read, so he originally had it in the location of Florida City, and that's where he first had built the castle, and he called it Ed's Place, and I think that was in the 20s. And that's when you had mentioned the tuberculosis that he had, and it, you know, it was an extremely remote location, I think, and he decided to move it. I don't know if that was, and you mentioned this, because of a business sense, he wasn't maybe getting enough customers out there. And, but at the same time, he wanted to move it, I believe, to a place that kept his privacy, because he was trying to not have everyone seeing what he was doing, trying to keep it on the down low. What was he doing? How was he moving these things? You know, obviously if you lived in the middle of a busy town, especially nowadays, anyone could come sneak under land and hide and see what was going on. But he ended up moving it, I believe, from what the legend was, and he didn't tell anyone really why, which is what's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He just said he moved it because he wanted, you know, a more private location, and worked on it his whole life, kept working on it. And I think a lot of people have also thrown him under the bus because said, oh, what a crazy person. Why would you build this, you know, coral castle? Or I guess out there some people call it the Rock Place or Rock Gate. Or I'm sorry if I'm wrong, if anyone's listening. There's a name I heard. And actually, hold on. It's just popping up now that we have a caller on the line, so we'll go ahead and jump over to them, and let's see what's going on. Just one moment. And hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
What's your name?
Good. Just interested in the topic you're discussing. I had a little input on it, my opinion.
Yeah, what's your name? And
it's Alex.
Yep. Alex, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. Just
what's your opinion on all this? I don't know how long you've been listening, but we were just talking about Coral Castle and Block and Tackle. Right on.
I mean, I kind of wonder what the guy's intention was, and that's what you guys are kind of getting into and why he did it. But, I mean, what if the guy wasn't even human, you know? What if the guy just possessed some superpower that people didn't know about? Like, maybe he had a genetic modification. Or maybe he actually knew what dark matter was and how to control it. Not necessarily magnetics, but the thing that holds everything else together that we call dark matter because we really don't know enough about it.
Well, I guess that's kind of getting off into a deeper realm because what we were sort of discussing was how maybe possibly he could, the simple machine that he has in his place, that you could turn this thing on and it would manipulate or at least, like I say, somehow make these blocks lighter, and hence the secret to the building of the pyramids. But you're suggesting that this might possibly have a connection with what would they call the Higgs boson, this dark matter, this particle that the God particle and all this that they're trying to find in the large hadron collider. It seems odd that why do people like that are sort of hermits? You know what I mean? Why is it that what would be the purpose besides building a castle, other than to have people admire it throughout the decades and the hundreds of years to come, because it's always going to be there. So could it be that he just wanted to be remembered?
Well, that's a good question, you know. And it also depends a lot on what he's building with, too. I mean, we have the technology now to levitate metals. I mean, have you guys seen the YouTube video where the dude bungee jumps wirelessly in the magnets and is thrown back up in the air? We can make stuff levitate, too, with mercury and spinning, you know, liquid metals and stuff like that, but not to an extent of moving big pieces of boulders. And I know it's a little off topic, but in Machu Picchu, there's an extensive amount of large granite in there that one piece would take 30-plus cranes, full-size cranes, to move it. But they couldn't even get there in that terrain. So this guy's technology that he's using has obviously been used before, and we can see the examples of it on Earth. And the thing is, do we really need access to that as a civilization, as humanity? Do we need to be able to move things that big? And if we could, what would really happen? What would happen is there wouldn't be as many jobs because we wouldn't need crane workers. We wouldn't need any of that. We just need one little device, and we're building a whole type of huge landscape and structure. Now, that's not something that people can do. So, I mean, that could be why the guy... he knew something, or either he stole the technology, he made it, whatever it was. But he just knew that he couldn't give it to anybody, and if anybody saw him doing it, that he could get in a lot of trouble and probably end up dead. Maybe he was just having fun with it, really, you know, because if you and I stumbled on something like that, what do you think we would do? Although I'd have to tell my buddies, you know, and so why didn't he tell anybody?
Yeah,
certainly.
Where he's from in Latvia... Where he's from, the block and tackle method we were talking about is with, you know, basically pivots and levees and all that, is particularly famous. And where he's from, I don't know if you – that's something maybe his family had taught him, and he wasn't trying to let people know, because anytime anyone's secretive about something, you kind of have to respect it, but at the same time, you also have to be curious. And I think that's why it's one of these famous things. As simple and complex as it is, he's moving boulders around that weigh massive amounts of weight and making a structure. So not too many people are overly interested in it, in the aspect that it's not a renowned, you know, seventh, eighth wonder of the world, but you have to wonder how the hell did he get these things to move around. So with what you mentioned with dark matter, I'm not the person to ask about that, because my brother would be a great person to have on that, because he's very, very into the scientific field and, you know, matters in the universe and everything like that. And, you know, be a great person to have call in and talk about it, but I'm not sure if I can get him on the line, but the idea, I don't know if you're getting at this, but maybe he had the ability to manipulate the resources he was working with. Let's say he was able to take these boulders and manipulate their, you know, the matter that they actually are, and the effect that gravity had on them, and, you know, be able to move them around. Rodney had mentioned the black box on top of the tripod that he had, and no one really to this day, there's been theories too that it was a waste to hold the tripod together. There's been theories that it was connected to a pulley wheel that was used to power lights so he could do it at night. And you have to wonder, with someone who's moving all these massive boulders around, why he wouldn't be able to figure out an easier way to power a light bulb or possibly use a lantern or whatever reason. So the theories behind it all are just all over the board, and I think that's why everyone's just kind of throwing out, and I'm not saying my theory is better than yours or anyone's theory, but when someone dies, no one really knows. There's theories from old technology to new technology to unknown technology. It's beyond a standard look at things, and it's I agree too with what Rodney brought up with the large hadron collider. Excuse me, I can't talk tonight. Yes, is all this maybe intertwined, and maybe all these things that we don't understand that everyone wants to is suddenly called you know, black magic or even magic alone, or is this just something that's to the human eye we don't understand? I mean, if no one had explained it to us, we might all still think that the Earth is flat, you know, because we might all not understand that you can't recognize from our height, you can't recognize the curvature of the Earth. And all these things I don't think get explained to the average person, and there's a lot of animosity behind how did they do this, how did they not do this. And I'm personally, my own opinion, not going to jump on the gun that it's some type of dark black magic. As much as I would love for it to be, I think it's something simply that, especially with the age, that it wasn't the age of information. This wasn't where you and I can hop on, you know, the internet and look up how to do something. This was, you're either really smart or you know something. So I guess either one of us could be correct in the aspect that this was either he knew something that a lot of people didn't know and was able to use that to manipulate them, because he did make income off of it, and you know, use that as a form of income and to gain popularity and try and build something and following for himself, or was this simply just you know, him using old technology? And it could be the whole dark, you know, black magic and dark matter, but I just simply don't know enough about dark matter in particular to associate it with that. But if you do, I'd love to hear your opinion and Rodney's on.
Yeah, I think what Alex was kind of alluding to, though, is that the idea is that he belonged to a group of people, a society of people, who have, say, maybe a dozen or so forbidden technologies that only are allowed to be used in certain significant circumstances. Something that there's like a, you know, big secrets that you can't let all of humanity have. Certainly we have to have those. We've seen evidences of those sort of leaked out here and there. But the idea that he would belong to such a group that would, you know, have certain secrets. Now, I think there's probably more than, you know, maybe three or four. Like I said, maybe a dozen or more possible technologies that have been suppressed in the last, say, 100 years simply because of, you know, we can't have all this great power. If you gave somebody free energy and they could ramp up and have their own Tesla coil and do all this stuff, they could be exploding giant things and hurting lots of people and all that. So I think that this is one of those technologies that is suppressed on purpose by a group of other people who have an intent and use it maybe for themselves in some various means, but never out in the open and never maybe not necessarily for their own personal gain, but maybe there's a pact or some sort of, you know, basically you would take an oath not to divulge these things, because once you found out, you would then, you know, be inclined to not screw things up by just going off the bandwagon and letting everybody know about it, because that could create potential chaos. And I think that may be something that you were kind of mentioning there. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd like to say, you know, with the whole magic thing, I take stuff like in a scientific perspective. So magic is just a misunderstanding of what it actually is. Now, illusions, like a magician, that's a whole other thing. That is a form of magic because they're fooling your eye. But, like, actual magic, even back in the day, like when they were making fire, that was magic, or when they were curing people, that was magic. I just look at it like the average person doesn't understand it, so we call it magic. You know, me and you talking on the phone right now and putting pictures on Facebook and YouTube and whatever it is, that would definitely be magic just like 50 years ago. People would be like, nah, you're crazy, you can't do that. So this guy, I don't think he was doing magic. I just think that he knew something with the atomic structure of the rocks, or he knew something with dark matter, or he had stolen a device from one of his friends that are in the elite or something like that. But I really don't get the guy's purpose, you know. Like, wouldn't you want to share something like that? Or maybe he just didn't want to do that. See, that's where I get confused about the whole subject, is why he didn't tell anybody and why he did keep it to himself, you know, like just to show off or whatever it is.
Because he belongs to a secret society that doesn't allow them, whoever reaches certain levels are not allowed to divulge their practices. And that's always been the MO of any, say, occultic or some sort of, you know, secret societies. Now, you might call them occultic. The religious people would call them occultic and all that. So, I mean, there's this kind of divide there when it comes to, you really can't tell. Now, if you want to create a secret society and you want to do secret things and you want to have ancient technologies that you don't divulge, then you're going to be under scrutiny, and you have to realize that people are going to, you know, call you this, that, or the other thing, or wonder what's going on. So that part of their life is always really private. And I just think that that's probably, you know, maybe he was just under a pact that he wasn't allowed to say anything about it. But I think about here is just the resonant frequency of the rock. If you could have a device that allows you to find out what the resonant frequency of each item that you're looking at is, once you find that number, that if you could dial it in, then you've got the information that you need then to do what you need to do with bombarding the material with its own frequency. And I think you just need a simple machine to be able to do that, I think, and I think he managed to do it.
Yeah, but I just don't get why the scientific community wouldn't notice something like that. And this guy, I mean, he's only human, so he only has so much intelligence. I mean, either he's insanely smart and he never made a big deal about it and he knew all the stuff that that did it, or he had some type of device that was extremely simple to use, you know. But the thing is, what would you and I even do with something like that, you know? And build a castle. As far as the tripod goes, I honestly think that's somewhat of a publicity stunt, because I don't think this guy, whatever he's using, really is connected to a tripod of wood connected to a box. I'm guaranteeing it's something a lot fancier than that, or even something more simple than that, and we don't know. You know, just to give people an idea and an image of it, I really think was, you know, a publicity stunt on his part, and a very good one, because, you know, it's still mentioned today, like, what was that tripod and what was in that box?
Yeah, exactly. The ultimate intrigue and the mystery behind just putting something on a tripod that it's covered up and you don't know what it is, and there's these weird wires, leads coming out of it, and you're not for sure what it is. But my intention was that it was leads back to his machine that he had in his dwelling that allowed him to, you know, bombard the rock or whatever. Now think about getting the rock out. I mean, somehow getting down to the ocean floor or wherever to a quarry and cutting these things out. I mean, how do you go about doing that, you know?
With a big wet saw, but how are you going to get that in underwater? And how are you going to do that without the electricity? They didn't have the type of power and stuff sustainable to do that unless you were in, like, an industrial complex with these types of machines. And even then, they're limited on what they can do.
Or if you're near a source of energy, like Tesla, who built his house next to Niagara Falls. But
Right. Huh.
But where he was particularly located at was not a the ocean, Miami. I mean, not really a major source of flowing water to where it was sustainable for mass energy. But it's No, I 100% agree with what he was saying. I was just mentioning with Tesla as an example, someone who built their home near a giant source of energy, whether it's water or it's now we have solar technologies and everything like that. But
and Tesla was another one of those characters, though, that had ties to certain information of the past. And like
he was working
Bible,
for the Germans.
There was nothing new under the sun. He's just reinvigorating old technologies and ancient technologies, I might say, and reintroducing them. But, you know, these are all stifled. He was stifled immediately. He's not going to let – he wanted to give everyone free power. They're not going to have that.
Well, he came to the conclusion that in one square inch of air in space on Earth that there's enough energy to fuel the world for a day or so, or maybe even more, potentially. I mean, the Nazis, the Germans, they invested millions and millions and millions of dollars into Tesla to just say he was a failure and throw him under the bus. You know, that's kind of another really weird thing. So maybe this Crystal Castle guy, he had access to all that stuff, power, levitation, you know, even telepathy for all we know, you know, what this guy's limits were. Because I'm pretty sure all that technology is out there. It's just one of those things, can the people really handle it? You know, and there's proof on that. Like when you were getting into that, like nanotubes, those things really exist. Nanobite technology, that it really exists. But the people can't handle it. I mean, they're doing it in laboratories and everything, but they're not going to just say, here you go, guys. Let's start playing around with nanotubes and genetics. Let's see what happens. Because that's when things go south. So, you know, it's kind of frustrating being the little man in the scene and going, well, I want this power and I want to do this type of stuff.
Right.
But if you look at things on a large scale, it's actually for the better of mankind, even though it seems evil and sinister. And it can be evil and sinister. But at the same time, humanity isn't mature enough to handle things like this. We really aren't, as far as an intelligence level goes. And I mean, I'm not saying all people are stupid, people aren't stupid. They just don't open their eyes and try a little bit to see things out there that are going on, you know. And even if I had that power, I'd probably do something really stupid with it too. So, you know.
Well, isn't
maybe
that interesting? Like we were talking about earlier on the show about why he built it in the first place was because he loved this girl. And so it doesn't matter how powerful you are in life. If you're a human being, you simply realize that what's important is the relationships you have with other people, not anything that you know what I mean? Like, you could have all the power and the money in the world. That doesn't mean you're not going to be lonely or not going to be sad, or you know what I mean? So when it comes down to the human condition, it's everybody's condition, and there's no way out of that. And it doesn't matter if you can levitate 20,000 tons. It's not going to relieve you of your human condition of just wanting to be loved or wanting to have companionship or whatever it might be. So interesting subject, but we started to get off a little bit on some of these other technologies and stuff that we were talking about. Interesting subject, because once we start on Coral Castle, that just goes into all these other things. And like I said, Tesla, I mean, they suppressed all of his stuff pretty much, and now we're seeing the ramifications of his work later on, but only in high industry and not just stuff for the public like he was initially intending. And that's always been the case, and I guess it always will be the case. I appreciate your mind as far as what you got to say there, Alex, as far as how you're talking about, you know, maybe some deeper ideas behind what our technology could be reaching right now. I mean, we're doing things and splicing animal and plant material together and all kinds of, you know, stuff that could have huge potential disasters. There's been reports and stuff coming out about, you know, what could be possibly happening with these center of disease control and places like that, where they create super weapons and viruses and all these things like that that eventually leak out. Like a lot of these people who have been genetically modified, they're finding this, you know, there's people been creating all kinds of weird hybrid creatures ever since they learned how to clone things. And you know that some underground lab has been doing that somewhere. And whether or not they let these things out or let them into the public, I don't know. But I think we might be seeing some of that eventually.
I mean, there are monstrosities out there in the laboratories. There are some devious devices that could potentially destroy humanity. Or not potentially, they could. They would. I mean, it's kind of like the Cold War. The only reason we got through the Cold War is because the instability-stability complex theory, which means you got big-ass guns, I got big-ass guns, let's not use them. So, you know, it's like one of those things. But there are some viruses going around right now, which is the current one is Zika, which causes a deformation in the embryo of the womb in the woman, and the baby is born with a small head. There's been 4,000 cases in Brazil, and it infects you through mosquito, and you don't know it. The women don't know it. There's no symptoms of it. So they're predicting that this virus alone could infect 4 million plus people in America, which would have a substantial, it'd be really bad to have a bunch of babies out there that have these problems that then take our money and drive our economy down, the world economy down, from trying to handle this and cure it, especially if there's no symptoms from it. So now, is this virus genetically modified and released? Right. I don't know. I'm guessing that it just naturally occurred, probably from some nasty little virus that loves to feed on us, like they all do. But
there's some of the other problems, though, that you mentioned. Something similar to that is the idea that they're finding all these species of amphibians and stuff that are being exposed to our city waters with all these chemicals in it, and they're turning into hermaphrodites and they're turning asexual. And that's what we're kind of seeing that starting in humanity as well, where just this idea of being pregnant and having a healthy, young, healthy baby is slimmer and slimmer, you know. It seems like that's just becoming sort of strange. You're seeing these things in nature now, some of the things that, you know, because of our materialism and all our chemicals and everything, that these creatures and frogs and amphibians that are exposed to these runoffs and these water supplies are seriously getting messed up sexually.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of genetic mutation going on out there, and I think a lot of it is just by, you know, human error. I don't think it's purposely put out there to destroy us or hurt us, you know, because these people that have power, they want money, and we really don't have anything to worry about until they have their robot army. Now, when they have their robot army and they can do everything with robots, then we need to worry, and that's coming. If you know anything about DARPA, if you followed Google, if you've done any of that stuff, I encourage you to go check that out. Probably will scare you a little bit, but, you know, I just think the natural occurrences in life have always been there. So there's always going to be virus and bacteria, and we're always going to constantly be fighting them. Now,
What do you think about, Alex, that you kind of mentioned it earlier? Do you think that this has all happened before?
What do you mean? Our same situation in life and with, you know, infection and disease?
Well, yeah, society in general coming to a head and then having to start over.
Oh, yeah, it's happened plenty of times. I mean, look at the Romans, and I mean, look at Greece. Like, they had humans and subhuman categories, and their downfall, their true downfall, was honestly having lead pipes in their aqueducts and poisoning the people with this lead. Now, a lot of people don't know in the 1950s through 60s that we had lead-based fuel, and it took a great scientist, I forget his name, to stop that from polluting us. Now, we still have a lot of lead, we still have a lot of things, but yes, I'm an optimistic person about it because we have persevered this far. That means that we've come this far and we can have this conversation. Now, we should continue to do that. We have seed banks. We have all these other things out there as resources. Humans should survive. We got people in space. But, yes, I think it is inevitable to have a civilization somewhat of a downfall and then rebuild again. I think that is part of our nature as humans. We learn from our mistakes and we get better. Now, and the thing that worries me a little bit nowadays is everybody's so entertained. You know, that's also what they did in the Greece period. You know, let's entertain people even more. So when people are entertained, they're distracted, they're not thinking about this type of stuff. But, you know, I still remain optimistic about it. And what I tell people, I mean, if you're fearful of this type of stuff, there's not too much to fear. You just got to learn how to take care of yourself. And once you realize how to take care of yourself and you realize everything you need is around you, is in a little seed and all the water and everything like that, then you're okay. You know, you feel better as a person. So don't be getting all scared, you know, sitting here listening and thinking it's the end of the world. Every generation that's ever existed thought it's the end of the world, you know? So why wouldn't we? But what we have in our time, which Stephen Hawking just did a great theory and a well-written, basically like a novel in my opinion, on the development of technology in our time. So it's getting advanced.
Hey, I don't mean to jump in real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but we only got about a minute and 50 seconds left. So
well, that went by fast.
Sorry to
it
went by quick. No problem at all. We'll just have to wrap up here quick, and we'll be doing another show hopefully again tomorrow night or on Sunday. And so 90
maybe,
seconds left,
yeah.
But closing thoughts from
thank
me.
Thank you. I appreciate
great
the time
to
let me talk.
Out.
I love the show, and I'll see you guys later. Keep up the good work. Goodbye.
Yeah,
thank
well, thanks, Alex. Yeah, I just to say, we'll maybe hook up again next time. We can maybe discuss some of those other theories that are related to Coral Castle that we touched on a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we went over a it started from one thing and started from one thing
right.
Went to another. That's for sure. But only about a minute left, so just wanted to say happy Friday, everyone. Alex, thank you for calling in. That was awesome. A lot of different subjects we brought up, and hopefully Drake will be back soon. And anyone who's listening right now, it says we got a few people out there listening. Let's go ahead and shoot for another show tomorrow or the next night. Same time as always. Just go ahead and tune in, and happy to take your calls, and happy to talk about everything. And I'll let Rodney take over, and we'll close out. We only got about 30 seconds, 20 seconds.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, good conversation always leads to more conversation. And you know when you're doing something good is when there's always something to say. So keep looking up and, you know, prepare to speak your mind when you have an opportunity. You know what I mean? And that's all you really got to do.
Yep. All right. Well, good night, everyone. And thank you again. Good night, Rodney.
Good night. Have a good one, Max.